Well, here on Wednesday night, we've been studying through the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to look actually at the last three tonight. So if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 and verse 10, and of course, really, I shouldn't say the last three gifts because there's so many gifts of the Spirit. They're endless. They're infinity, really, in God, as we've talked about this before. And God just spreads His gifts to His kids according to His will. And so as we've been just looking at this list in 1 Corinthians as going through the book, these are the last three listed here in this chapter. And so we're down at verse 10. If you go to verse 10, and we read there in verse 10, the discerning of spirits. Now, this is also translated, and the NIV translation has distinguishing of spirits. Distinguishing, or actually knowing what spirit things are of. That's a gift of the Spirit. Sometimes, as a Christian, you will be just knowing this is not of God. You just go, in your spirit. And that is along the lines of the gifting of the discerning of spirits. It's the wrong spirit. Now, there is a huge test given to us in 1 John chapter 4, where it says that any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. But the spirit that does confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And so there's a test right there. If Jesus Christ, and as you know that Christ is His title, not His last name, it means the anointed one of God. And so those that see Jesus Christ as the anointed one of God, the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament to come and save us from our sins, and that He is who He says He was, and He let us know very clearly that He is God. Yes. He that has seen me has seen the Father, he said to Philip. And so if that's where you're at, you're in the right spirit and you're of the Lord. And if you're on the other end of that, you're not of the right spirit. So that's one thing right there. But now what I'd like to do in looking at the discerning of spirits tonight, or distinguishing of spirits, is to look an example in Jesus Christ's life himself. Now, the Bible tells us clearly in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. And so Jesus Christ operated in every single gift of the Spirit because He had no measure. As there's another list of gifts in the book of Romans, chapter 12, it says every man should use his gift according to the measure given him of faith. And so we are given gifts by measure. God picks out the gifts that He wants for you. But for Jesus, He had it all. And so let's go to Luke 9 and verse 52. Luke chapter 9 and verse 52 as the example of a distinguishing between spirits. Very clear example in the life of our Savior. So we're looking at Luke 9:52. Luke chapter 9 and verse 52. And in verse 52, it says that the messengers were sent before His face, the face of Jesus Christ, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. Jesus was on His way in. There were messengers sent forward to go into the village of Samaria to make a place for Jesus. And they did not receive Him. They didn't receive Jesus Christ into Samaria because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. They know He was on His way to Jerusalem. They wanted nothing to do with the people in Jerusalem. They had a great religious war for a long time. The Samaritans would have nothing to say to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people nothing to say to the Samaritans. And that's a whole study in itself. But that's just the way it was. And so they did not receive Jesus into Samaria because he was going to Jerusalem. So he says, okay, if you're going to Jerusalem, you can't come here. That's the idea. Now, when his disciples, James and John, who are known in the Bible as Boanerges, or the Sons of Thunder, this is how they got their names, the Sons of Thunder. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? Thinking about the story in Elijah and in the Old Testament, where Elijah would call fire from heaven upon people. And so they are going for it. They're just saying, hey, Lord, why don't you let us do that to these Samaritans? These guys are not going to receive you. And Jesus turned and rebuked them. James and John said, guys, you're wrong in this. And he said this, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. You're in the wrong spirit. So this is definitely the gift of the discerning of spirits. You guys are in the wrong spirit right now to want to call fire from heaven on these people. And then he gave the reason here in verse 56. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They just went on by and let those guys be. And Jesus was letting them know about who he was. He's the Savior. That's why he was sent into the world to save men, not destroy men. And so they were of the wrong spirit. And Jesus needed to let them know that in no uncertain terms. So this gives us an inkling or an example to go by about what the distinguishing of spirits is, or the discerning of spirits, to know when something is of God and when something is not. Now, sometimes you can say all the right things, but it's the wrong spirit. Yeah, that can happen. I'd like to show you that in the book of Acts. So let's go to Acts 16, 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 through 18. And it has here, now it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit, a demonic spirit, this girl was possessed with a demonic spirit, of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by fortune telling. So she had this demonic spirit inside of her and would make a lot of money fortune telling. We have those people on the streets in our own city now, don't we, the fortune tellers. Now the same followed Paul and us. And this is Luke writing. Luke was with Paul and the others that followed Paul. And she cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Boy, there's nothing wrong with that statement. Not one thing. That statement is right on. Paul and Luke and all the guys, they were servants of the Most High God and had come to show all of the people the way of salvation, how to get saved. So there is nothing wrong with what she said. But then through the discerning of spirits that God gave Paul, he knew she was possessed with an evil spirit and just not right inside. And this she did many days, crying the same thing just over and over again. But Paul, being grieved, he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And so there you are. Someone can be saying something totally right on, but it's the wrong spirit. And so to discern that, to sense that, to feel that, it's not weird. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Something's wrong here. And we need to go the right way and pray through it and get by it, instead of being deceived by a lying spirit that might even say good things. And so there you are. Now I'll give you an example. My own life is that I went to meet my son James, and he's here tonight. My son James is right there tonight. Hallelujah, with his dear family and all the cousins. But you know what happened is I went to meet him at school, and there was this boy that was cussing and screaming at all the other people coming home from school. And I got very upset and agitated within me, and I told him to shut up. And he took offense, and he was drunk and started chasing James and I in his car. And he pulled in front of me, and he threw his beer at me. And the beer hit my chest, and the beer jumped up and went in my eyes and burned really bad, in my eyes. And so I got mad, super duper mad. And I said, "I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name." And the kid just said, "You calling me Satan?" And things just got worse. And I'm thinking, what did I do wrong here? You know, I thought I got rid of this boy by rebuking Satan. But the thing is, and the Lord showed me later, I was in the wrong spirit. I was not trusting God. I wasn't looking in a peaceful way to the Lord Jesus for help. I was spitting anger at him and using the right words, but the wrong spirit. And so there it was. And so we have to be careful of that. The spirit in which we say things. Our attitudes need to be right. Our hearts need to be right before God. And God gives us the discerning of spirits, the distinguishing between what spirit I'm in, what spirit I'm, experiencing in the area that I do. And when I calm down, when I finally calm down, and I said disarming words to him, he got in his car and went away. And so the Lord rescued us. And I've been dying to ask James what he thought about that day. We've never had a long discussion about it, but it was just really hurtful for me and embarrassing for me and so forth. But just being careful of the spirit that we go with. Amen. Okay, so that's a gift of the Spirit. Now, let's go and look at the last two. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And the last two gifts of the Spirit that are listed here is what I really think of when I think of the fireworks gifts of the Lord, because there's such controversy over them, and different people say this and say that and wonder about these things. And these are just very beautiful, natural gifts of the Spirit. And as the disciples were blessed with the Holy Spirit, these gifts were really in operation. And we want to allow them to be in operation today also, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but in God's way. So it goes on and says now, to another, different kinds of tongues, the gift of tongues. And many folks through the years have been afraid of this gift, and others have been so blessed with it they can't stop doing it, And so there's different arguments going on this way and that way. But, God gave this gift. It's a precious gift. Different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, last week we talked about prophecy. And I want to go to that area of Scripture again as we go over to 1 Corinthians 14. Because there in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us that we should rather prophesy than to speak with tongues. Because if you just speak with a tongue, nobody understands what you're saying. But it's better to prophesy, because then you're edifying or building up the church. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue just edifies himself, unless it's interpreted. And let's read that scripture. So 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5 says this, "I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Because if there's a tongue and then there's an interpretation of the tongue, the church is built up. Why? Because they understand what was being said. And that's what edifies, that's what builds up. So the interpretation of tongues is a gift of the Spirit. And there are people in our church that have that gift, and it's beautiful. And people in our church that have the gift of tongues, and that's also beautiful. Because as we studied last week, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Oh yes. As you use that gift, if you have that gift and you're given that gift, and you just pray in that unknown language, you're building yourself up. And you know what I do? Because I have the gift of tongues, I'll sit in the front row here, and I did it tonight. And before I get up to speak to you, I start praying in tongues, and I say, Lord, edify, build me up, that I, in turn, might build these up when I get up, when I come up here, that you will be edified because God has built me up to edify you. And so that's the way tongues works in my mind, because that's the way I use tongues. And it's a very precious gift, and I never want to say anything to you like, you know what, some of the gifts aren't around today. That is absolute baloney, baloney, salami, man. All the gifts are in operation, and it is totally exciting. And you know what is even more exciting? It's to find out what your gift is. Or should I say gifts? Because God sometimes gives multiple gifts to people. And it's always for one reason: to edify, to build up the body of Christ. To be used by God in a very special way. That when you open your mouth, it's Him that fills it. Hallelujah. And the people are getting what God has to say to them. And this is a marvelous thing. The different kinds of tongues. Now, this gift usually comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are overflowed with the Spirit of God, that gift will come to many. And I'd like to give examples in the Bible. I want to take a little Bible trip right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Now, Peter was sent by God to speak to actually the leader of 100 Roman soldiers, Cornelius. And he was a centurion, which means he was over 100 soldiers. And Peter was sent to his house. Of course, he wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile. And this is where God shows the world. And we always teach this when we go to the Holy Land. We go to Caesarea, where it happened. And we say, this is where God gave the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles and showed us that the Holy Spirit doesn't just belong to the Jewish people, but to the non-Jewish people as well. And I'm so glad, aren't you? Glory to God, we're all in this together. Hallelujah. So, now, Peter started preaching to them, these 100 Roman soldiers. And when Peter yet spoke the words of the gospel to them, the Holy Ghost fell on all which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, or the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, or the non-Jews, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said, can any man forbid water baptism, which we just did a little earlier, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And what a blessing to get that word from Peter. And that this is a true experience. Now what we see here is these Romans, were so hungry for God that they got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost the same day. And they received the gift of tongues, and they received the gifts of the Spirit the same day, the same experience. Now, this will happen to some of you, that when you got saved, you were baptized in the Holy Ghost the same time because you were hungry to serve God, because that's what the Holy Spirit and the baptism is for. Now, others will get it in two stages. A person can become a believer in Jesus Christ and walk his path for a while, and then there'll come another experience when God has stirred up a hunger in them to be used by him, to receive gifts of the Spirit, and to actually break forth in life upon those around them. They need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and get those gifts from the Lord, and to overflow with the love of God. Now, that's the way it was for the disciples. It was a two-stage thing. Got to show you scripture on this. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and verse 21. John, verse 20 and 21. John, chapter 20 and verse 21. It says here, as Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, it says, then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Yeah. Man, nobody can't tell me that those guys weren't saved right then. Man, Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, all that power. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So that Spirit came to live inside of them, and they got gloriously saved. But later, Jesus tells them in Acts chapter 1, and just turn a couple pages over to Acts chapter 1. He was assembled together with them and commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What said he? "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." Oh, I thought we already were. Didn't you breathe on us? No, they were saved then, but they needed more. And Jesus sent them more. He sent them the Holy Spirit baptism. There's several Greek words involved here. One of them is para, and en, and another one is epi. And epi is the upon experience. And that's what happens when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. He says, "You shall receive power." Dunamis is the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite and dynamic. Things that are really powerful. After the Holy Ghost is epi upon you. It's another experience. Cornelius and his band received the whole thing in one great big bam slam. But these guys, two steps. Second step, wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, and that is the baptism into repentance and salvation. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he will come upon you. And you then shall be witnesses. And this is what God does with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the desire you have to have in your heart in order to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. A real, honest to goodness desire to be used by the Lord, to actually walk with Him and talk with Him and let Him fill your mouth to save others. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, which is their hometown. It'll be like Anaheim. In Judea, it's like Orange County. Samaria would be LA County. And yes, to the uttermost parts of the earth. God will send some of you to other nations. And many of our dear saints here in this room have been to other nations for the Lord. Just led by God to go to another nation in the world to minister the truths of God. But it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, that just comes and lights you up like a firework, man. And we're going to have lots of those tonight, but just to light you up and to give you special gifts that only you can have, because you're you and nobody else is you. Nobody else is you. You're special. And so God gives us each different gifts and anoints us to use them powerfully. And so there it is. So we'll be witnesses in our hometown, a little further out, a little further out, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. And there's a drive, I think, in every right-on church to reach out as far as they can into the world, to just have folks go here and there and everywhere and just be filled with the Spirit of God to minister to each one. That's the way God works. And so they were promised this power, and then the fireworks come in Acts chapter 2, and let's read about them. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and just read what happens here. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and pentem is just the word for 50 in the Greek language, and it's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They were all gathered together, as it says, in one accord, in one place. And there was about 120 of them there. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So it's kind of like a little fire over each head, but it was split in the middle like a cloven tongue over each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's always the Spirit that gives the utterance. We just begin to pray and allow God to touch our hearts, and it's the Spirit that just wells up from within and comes out our mouths. And people have received tongues of angels. You know, I've heard some, as they receive the gift of tongues, where there doesn't sound like there's a place to breathe. It's like, it just sounds like that. It's like there's no place to breathe. And you know, maybe the angels don't need to breathe. It might be a tongue of an angel. I don't know. But men of tongues of angels and of men, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll get to that soon. But it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from all these different nations with different languages. Every nation under heaven, it says. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. They're going, what is going on? These guys were so filled with the Spirit and starting just to speak a language they didn't even understand. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, aren't all these people Galileans? Aren't they all from Galilee? And they're all speaking in our tongues here. And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherewith we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in all the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And this is an amazing gift. There was this one sister one night, it impressed me so much, she got up to share at Calvary Costa Mesa what happened to her. Her husband was from France, and in France there's several dialects of French, and he was from a special place that had their own special dialect of French. And he was not a Christian and didn't want to become a Christian, and she was a Christian, and that was something that ached her heart all the time. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she didn't know it, but she received his language from that special part in France. And when she went home and started speaking it, he was saved real quick. What is going on here? It was a miracle of God and a blessed thing. I'll never forget that night, hearing that testimony. I go, yes, yes, that's the Lord. That's our Lord. You know what God did at Pentecost? The exact opposite of the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, in Genesis chapter 11, he confounded their languages and made everybody teach a different tongue or speak a different tongue so that the nations wouldn't get together and make plans against God anymore. And they started going to other lands where they spoke the same tongue. But in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus Christ and his blessing on the people of the earth, every tribe and every kindred will be in heaven. He brought back the unity of the human race through the gift of the Spirit, through tongues and interpretation of tongues. And what a blessing that is. That's beautiful, what God did there. And so we see it, and we see the beauty of it. And boy, we don't want to miss it at all, do we? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 here. It says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," all the way in the Old Testament. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And that is awesome, to see the young girls, the young handmaidens, the servants of the Lord, the young men seeing visions, the young girls prophesying. Philip had four daughters which prophesied. Beautiful. And we've had that in our church so wonderfully. Remember, Sherry and I took Abigail to Hawaii with us. We take all of our grandkids to Hawaii when they're 10. We have lots of people in the church that want to turn 10. But we took Abigail to Hawaii, and we're sitting on the lanai there before the ocean, and we started to sing in tongues together. And to hear our little handmaiden, 10 years old, singing with her gift of tongues was amazing. Amazing. And this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on your sons and on your daughters, and they will see visions and dream dreams. And your handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And so it is just so tremendous. And, you know, when it comes time to preach on this, I'm always excited. I want this for everyone. in the church. Now, I don't know if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost or not. I have no way of knowing that. Only you know. And there are those that need to stir up their gifts, that have had received gifts in the past, but you haven't really been exercising them. You need to stir up the gifts that are within you. It says that in the Bible. To really use those gifts, to get excited about what God wants to do with your life. We're so excited right now for one of our other granddaughters, Gingy. She is in Cornwall, England, and she told her parents, I guess it was email or phone, one of the two, but she just said, I feel like I'm home here in Cornwall, England. She got on the plane by herself to fly to a mission trip led by Brian Broderson over there in England. And she'll be there for, I think, 4 months now. It's either 3 or 4 months. She'll be all the way from Cornwall, England in the south, all the way up to Scotland. And she went to a missions conference a couple of years ago, and she felt like God was calling her to Scotland. And I think of other girls that have gone in our congregation. Is it Chelsea or Kelsey that went with her husband to Ireland? Is it Kelsey or Chelsea? Chelsea, yeah. And so these things happen. These things are real. These things are alive. And so I'm always inclined to give you an opportunity to come forward to the altar and have prayer by the pastors of the church for you to receive your gifts. And what has to be in your heart is a desire to be a witness for Christ and to exercise those gifts for that. So at this time, I'd like to have the pastors come forward. There's Pastor James and Pastor Steve and Pastor Bill and Terry. And, Christy also. Yes, Christy, come. And, is Shannon here? Yeah? Yeah, Shannon, is it okay for you to come up, Shannon, and be a prayer? Also, we're going to have couples. So we have James and Christy. James and Christy are fresh back. James was our principal for 4 years of our school and taught 7th and 8th grade here for 10 years and now is just joining us on staff again. And then Bill will be right back, won't he? Yeah. So this, and you guys know Steve and Shannon, his lovely wife, and Pastor Bill will be here. And then Sherry and I, and we'll just come on up, Sharon Doris. why don't you guys move down a little more? We'll just spread out a little bit. And if we don't need to be spread out because there's not too many of you come, but we're prepared to pray for every single one of you guys. Because we've got a lot of prayers up here, and these are all pastors from our church. We want to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you've already received that, to stir up the gifts that are in you and to let God give you new gifts to go out, to be blessed, and to share this everlasting gospel with all of the folks. Thanks for coming, you guys. Praise the Lord. This is very good. Okay, so here we go. We're going to start some music. Charles is going to start some, and you can just come on forward and go to any one of us for prayer.